Welcome back to Run the Draw. It is week 11 of the college football season, and we are here to talk about equestrian.
Hell yeah.
That's right. This is now a horse podcast.
It's kind of equestrian is kind of like horse skateboarding, isn't it?
What? Horse skateboarding? No. Yeah,
you're just going through
park. Oh, it's like horse X Games.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But not vert ramp, but like street.
Street, yeah.
Yeah. Run the Draw is sponsored this week and all season by Casa Sanchez chips and sauces. Family made products since 1995. Go ahead and follow them on Twitter at Casa Sanchez SF. They also have an Instagram. So smash that follow button and crunch it up with our season-long sponsor. I didn't introduce my co-host. That's Aaron. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I was just looking while you were introducing the sponsor. I was just looking to see if at Crunch was taken on Twitter, knowing that it probably was, but thinking that would be a good alternative Twitter name for Casa Sanchez. Because the internet always delivers. Let me read the bio of the man who owns twitter.com/crunch.
Is this a porn thing?
Just let me speak. His name is labeled as Crispin Crunch. His tweets are protected, and his bio reads, Kingster, polyamorist, husband, father, technologist, switch. And then there are two asterisks, and it says, not a gymnasium in New York. In case you were confused by this photo of a man in a gas mask. Not.
What?
Not going to give you the cardio that you're looking for.
Oh, man. Well, I was going to pull up the National Collegiate Equestrian Association rankings, but it's the off season, so I guess we're just going to stick with football.
There is one nice thing about equestrian is that you cannot find a way too early top 25 equestrian list that will make you angry at your equestrian coach.
I'll say a couple things real quick about equestrian. Girls that do it are crazy. I know this because I went to South Carolina in the dorm next to the athletes' dorm. And those girls are out of their goddamn minds.
Are you saying the equestrian athletes were in the athletes' dorm, or that there was a separate horsey dorm next to the athlete dorm?
There was a non-football athlete dorm, and the equestrian women, human women, lived separate from the horses in a building with beds and other non-football athletes. And they're crazy.
And the horses had a barn, I assume.
So that's fact number one about equestrian. Fact number two is when you are the visiting equestrian team, you don't ride your horse. You ride the home host's horse, which is actually pretty impressive if you think about it.
Yes, that's insanely impressive.
It's like the X Games, but you don't get to bring your own bike or skateboard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's alive.
Yeah, and it's maybe smart enough to like sabotage your thing.
Wait, so does everybody ride the same horses? Like, does the home team ride the same horses, or they?
No, because I think that horse would get real tired. But they've got like a fleet of horses, I'm going to say is what it's called. Uh-huh. And you have to ride the visiting team's fleet when you visit.
Wouldn't you just like, don't you just give them like the glue factory horse or whatever? And you're like, oh man, sorry you lost.
No, because you also have to ride those horses.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. Okay. So you do have.
Yeah, you don't get to throw out some fucking scrub horses, like a donkey wearing a weave or something.
Okay.
Well, that's good to know. That seems fair. But also we can like horse trailers are a thing. I guess I don't quite understand this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's not that many schools with equestrian teams, and they're pretty spread out. It's like Auburn, Baylor, Delaware, Fresno State, Georgia, Oklahoma State, South Dakota State, South Carolina, TCU, UC Davis. I mean, what are we fucking doing?
All right. I guess you can't fly the horses. That seems expensive.
Can't or won't?
Well, anything is possible with infinite resources. So let's say won't.
I like that.
I wish we had a sound clip of Kevin Garnett screaming, anything is possible. Last piece of horse information is, I think equestrian was South Carolina's only national championship when I went to school there. And I bought a shirt from the gift shop or the bookstore, so that was funny. And then the horse athlete, human women approached me because I had on their shirt. And that's how I found out that they were fucking crazy. So that's a good segue to the fact that South Carolina does not have a football national championship and probably won't this year because they lost to Appalachian State, which is Appalachia is not a state. It's a region. So that feels unfair to start. This loss feels bad, man.
Yeah, this loss sucked. This loss sucked for a number of reasons, but I think worst of all is we all half jokingly, half nervously basically wrote this game off as a loss the moment we saw it scheduled. And yep. We were the part that makes it feel bad is we were right. don't play App State. They're not in your conference.
Nope.
There's no reason to play them. There's no fucking reason to go to Boone and play them.
Nope. Which we're doing, by the way.
Which we are doing in 2 years, I think. There's no reason to play this game. You know, we play, I don't know. I used to think it was a bad thing, but like we're trying to get to bowls here. Like we're trying to get to the best bowls we can. Schedule Northwestern State or Wofford or whatever the fuck you need to do to get that win calling up, and playing App State is not a way to do that.
And paying them to do it, by the way.
Yeah, how much did we pay? Like $900,000 or something?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, schedule someone like Citadel.
Oop.
Wait, hold on. I've got a sound drop for that. Since this is a college football podcast, we should probably mention that LSU beat Alabama. They're winning by a lot of points, and then Alabama came back and made it interesting, but they still lost. Hold that tiger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This was a really, really fun game. I think lived up to all the hype.
Totally.
Yeah, it was great.
And Coach O in the locker room said, fuck your Tide, and it was caught on a Snapchat or some sort of live social media video, and that's funny.
Yeah, that probably did more for LSU recruiting than anything else in the past 10 years.
Dude, how classic is his Go Tigers?
You know, I live an hour from Baton Rouge. I'm pretty aware of how LSU is doing outside of my interest in college football just because of where I live, but I'm still utterly shocked every time I hear him speak. Like every time he is on TV, I'm still like, holy shit, that's his real voice.
It's so on brand. It's like not even funny. Actually, that's not true. It is very funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Minnesota, as I called last week, is the best team in college football. They beat Penn State and they still, they still yell Sky Uma, which is cool and makes no sense. And so that's a fun thing to do. And they yell row the boat now, and that's also cool. And fucking roll Gophers.
Yeah, great stuff.
This is now a Minnesota podcast.
Yeah.
Did you go back to that bar where the bartender's a Minnesota fan?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You should.
I should have. I was under the weather this weekend and with my children. But maybe next week I will. Who do they play next week?
I think you should. Probably someone good. I don't know.
Let's see. My internet's being slow, so.
Who do the Minnesota Gophers play this week in college football?
Minnesota plays Iowa on Saturday at 1 p.m.
Iowa.
Ooh. Iowa.
All right, that's a big game.
I don't know. They could lose it. You want to move on to some stuff? The playoff rankings are out again, which mean nothing and no one cares, but we're going to talk about them anyways because we're dumb. LSU is in first place ahead of Ohio State. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
And in third place is Georgia.
Clemson, unfortunately.
Nailed it. And fourth is Georgia.
Yep.
Penn State dropped out after losing to the Gophers, and Alabama drops out after losing to the Tigers. And Georgia moves up after losing to South Carolina Gamecocks because the college football pollsters apparently think really highly of the Gamecocks. Not only because Georgia's ranked in the top four, but also App State is ranked again after beating us. So yeah. Beat an unranked team that loses to Mizzou and you will be ranked, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be a point of pride for us.
Sure. Yeah. Great.
You anything to add about playoff rankings? This is kind of not really, there's really not a bunch of reason to talk about this.
Yeah. Right? So they don't, here's the thing. They don't matter until the last one. Because they can completely, you know, they can completely shift the entire rankings any given week. All it does two things. It allows them to have a TV event that idiots like us will not watch, but will talk about. And it allows them to show their work for why they fucked a non-Power 5 team in the final ranking. Like, well, they were 19th, even though they're 17-0. So that's really all it serves. So don't pay attention to it. Don't even listen to us. Just skip past that last 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's probably true. This is like kind of playoff ranking related, but right now the ACC is the only conference that's going to have a championship game matchup that isn't between two ranked teams.
Yeah, the ACC sucks, except for Clemson.
Yeah, they really do. Like, Clemson's going to play either Virginia, Virginia Tech, or Pitt in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. This is why we follow this sport. You know, there's nothing like a early December championship match, Clemson versus a team from Virginia that we can't name yet. We don't know which one yet. It's awesome.
Well, in other sad news, the University of Colorado has retired Ralphie Five.
Is this a Me Too thing?
This is not a Me Too thing, but it's a great question. Ralphie Five is actually a female buffalo.
Hey, it's still possible.
Still possible.
Still on the table.
Still on the buffalo table. Ralphie Five is being retired. Do you know why she's being retired?
I don't.
She's still alive, so don't worry.
Okay.
She runs too fast.
Oh, man. Come on. They wouldn't retire a male Ralphie Five for being too fast, would they?
I think they would. I think they made a statement today that were like, Ralphie Five runs too fast for any of the handlers to keep up with her, and it's just dangerous, so... Tip of the cap to Ralphie Five, but we're going to move on.
Let me clean that up. No SEC team would retire Ralphie for being too fast.
Speaking of SEC teams and retirement, Chad Morris is fired from the University of Arkansas. Future offensive coordinator of the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Oh, God. Yeah, Arkansas, probably the worst SEC team possibly ever. They're definitely in the running. Generally, the only SEC teams historically that are worse than them are like Tulane, who is no longer in the SEC, and Sewanee, who is, I don't think, playing football anymore and definitely not in the SEC.
Yeah.
Worse than the worst Vandy teams, the worst South Carolina teams, just really, really historically bad.
Yeah. He had to be fired after this game because they lost on Saturday to Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, which has a real cool mascot. It looks like a red grimace from McDonald's. Western Kentucky had previously lost to Central Arkansas. So that makes Arkansas worse than Central Arkansas. And also, the quarterback for Western Kentucky was an Arkansas transfer. So there's almost like rules in place that you have to fire the coach if that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of fired, how is Mark D'Antonio not fired yet?
I don't know. They gave up a 28-3 lead against who? Someone real bad. Akron.
Akron, yeah. The Zips.
The Zips.
Was that right?
Was it Akron?
I don't think.
Akron's definitely the Zips. Is that the question? Or are you trying to determine whether or not they lost to Akron?
Whether they lost to Akron, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Tough to say. It's not like we're doing this over the internet. Okay. Hey, Siri.
Oh.
Who did Michigan State lose to in football?
Illinois is now 6-4.
Michigan State narrowly lost to Illinois last Saturday. The final score.
Yeah, sorry. I was real good on that. Welcome to Run the Draw. This is a college football podcast.
Fear the beard. Illini are going bowling. Lovie Smith is the truth.
You love him. You lovey him.
I do. His beard. Have you seen his beard? He looks awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
He looks retired, but he's out there fucking scoring 27 points in the fourth quarter to beat Michigan State on the road.
He looks like a hipster, less rapey Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
I like that.
Clemson let a linebacker attempt a PAT.
Yeah. So this is that Clemson thing where they just play everybody when they're up by a lot, which is annoying, but on another level, like, hey man, if they kick your ass and they're letting linebackers like kick PATs, what do you want them to do? Right.
Do you feel like this is on brand for Dabo, or is this like one of the things that doesn't really fit his shtick?
No, I think this is on brand for him. It lets him,
because he's like fun youth group leader guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's like, we're going to play basketball for 12 hours. Like, oh, we're going to, yeah. It also lets him play his actual children on the field. I'm pretty sure is part of it. Which also seems on brand for his youth pastor energy.
Ugh. You want to move on to sad football?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we got two and they're both gambling related. So why don't you go first?
Yeah. So this week, Ohio State faces Rutgers. The line is 52 points, 52 points. So if you want to take Ohio State, you have to hope they win by 52 or more points. This is where Vegas has determined that people will bet this equally. That is crazy.
Man, that's pretty sad for Rutgers. So my sad football is the UMass Minutemen. They have made our sad football at least once this season. So shout out to them. UMass is playing Northwestern on Saturday, and Northwestern is favored by 40 points, which
God.
May sound not as crazy considering you just shared the Ohio State line. But some fun facts about Northwestern. They've scored 38 points in the last five games combined. And Vegas thinks that they are going to do more than that in one game on Saturday. Like, this is not a team that's averaging 40 points a game. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this is wild. This is actually wilder than mine.
Northwestern. Yeah, I mean, it's outstanding. So, Northwestern has scored more than 40 points. Zero times this season.
Yeah. So you met
their highest scoring, their Northwestern's highest scoring game of the season was last week against Purdue. They scored 22.
Yeah.
Oh no, I lied. They scored 30 against UNLV. My bad.
Yeah. UMass has given up over 60 points in four games. They beat Akron though. God.
Freaking Sips.
Yeah, they lost to the Army 63-7. You know, let's just see how many rushing yards occurred in that game, because I bet it was a lot.
Army scored 63 points. Okay, I'm going to bet 630.
let's see. Total yards, 546. So unless they threw for negative yards, which is
shit.
Not impossible.
I was going to say.
They rushed for 498.
That's awesome. All right. Well, shout out to UMass.
All right. Well, speaking of gambling,
Let's pick some games.
Why not?
What were you about
to say? What's the worst that could happen?
You could go 0-4, and you could be 5-27 for the season. Oh, wait, you did that last week.
Oh my God.
I went 3-1. I'm 15-18 for the season. And I'm going to get, here's my promise to the listeners. I am going to get back into the black before the end of the season.
That's cool. I wonder what that's like. That sounds fun. You think they're eating ice cream up in first class? What do you think? What do you think they're eating up there? God.
Up first, we've got number 23 Navy midshipman. Is that when you just hang out in the middle part of the boat? Is that what that is? Like you don't go to the front or the back. You're just kind of like right in the like. More of a mid, I'm more of like a midship guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to Google it, but that sounds right. Is that maybe where like the administrators are, like the big wigs, like in the middle?
Why don't you go ahead and just send a DM to our friend at Crunch and I mean, he's gonna know.
He'll definitely know. He's Australian, so he's definitely not gonna know.
Hey, I know this is I haven't even said the team that they're playing yet, but at what point are we going to play football on a boat? I mean, this feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it feels like a cruise ship could handle that, right?
Yeah, I mean, they play basketball on ships from time to time on TV. Yeah,
totally. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and follow Crunch from the Run the Draw account. Just
Jesus Christ. Everybody go give Crunch a follow on Twitter. Is it just
at Crunch? C-R-U-N-C-H. He has to approve your access though. So we'll see what happens.
Are you following him personally or just from
I just added him from Run the Draw.
Oh, so you're gonna wimp out and not give him a follow? From your personal
we'll test the waters here with Run the Draw.
So anyways, Navy is ranked number 23, and they're playing Notre Dame at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is ranked number 16, and Notre Dame is favored by 9.5. Who you got?
I'm going to take Navy here. I think they probably won't win this game, but it feels like Notre Dame will struggle to win by a field goal.
What is Notre Dame? Notre Dame, what have you done for me lately? They beat Duke pretty soundly. 9.5. I'm going to take Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's probably the smart thing to do. just based on records. Hey, can you just pick first every time?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah. You did that 1 week, and I think that was one of my worst weeks.
Yep. Yeah, it checks out. That checks out. All right. Next up, we have number 4, Georgia at number 12, Auburn. This is the game that alerted me that the season is almost over. So enjoy it while it's here.
Or don't, because you're a South Carolina fan.
Look forward to the sweet, sweet relief of no more South Carolina football. And having free Saturdays. Georgia is favored by 2.5 points on the road. Who you got?
2.5 points on the road. Fuck. I feel like Georgia's broken now, honestly. That's how it really feels. And this is really tough, man. And also really great podcasting.
It's a great line.
It is a good line. Vegas did a good job. Great job. Gosh, I don't know. I guess I'll take Georgia.
Okay. I'm going to take Auburn. I don't feel great about this pick either way because the line is so well done, in my opinion, but I do agree that something seems off with Georgia, particularly their offense, and they haven't really needed it, and I think they're probably going to need it against Auburn. So this is basically a bet that UGA will not be able to figure out their offense enough to cover the spread.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, Auburn played Ole Miss really close, or vice versa. I don't know what to think of either of these teams. Okay, up next we got the best team in college football, the number 8, Minnesota Gophers made of gold, at the Fightin' Kirk Ferentzes of Iowa. They're ranked number 20. They're favored by 2.5. This is the most Midwestern thing that could possibly happen this weekend.
Yeah, unless there was a tornado during the game.
I mean, don't tempt me with a good time.
This is tough.
What is this 2.5 bullshit?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Iowa's probably a better team. Front to back.
Rude.
Let's see. Iowa has lost to some teams.
They lost to Wisconsin by 2.
Yep. Lost to Michigan by 7. Lost to Penn State by 5.
Those are good losses.
Those are good losses. I'm going to take Iowa. I'm going to take Iowa because those are good losses. And I think it'll be hard for Minnesota to get their wood up consecutive weeks in a row.
So no Sky Uma for you.
Nope.
More like Sky Una, you know what I'm saying?
No. No, I don't.
God, I'm going to roll with the Gophers. I like him.
All right. I like that. You'll probably be right, if history is any indicator.
I don't know what I'm doing on Saturday at 1 p.m., but I hope I can watch this game. Oh, my wife tells me I have an engagement party. Well, that's great. So
you watch it on your phone.
Cool.
In the bathroom.
I'm going to give myself diarrhea and watch it on my phone from a stranger's bathroom.
This is a total aside, but have you been following the WeWork disaster at all?
Kind of. Only because I live in Silicon Valley.
Okay, so this will be brief, but before the CEO started WeWork, he had an idea for a different business. That business was called Sick Day. Sick Day was a candy bar that gave you diarrhea so that you could take a day off work.
Oh, that's so good.
But unfortunately, he became a real estate mogul instead. So you'll have to supply that on your own.
Well, there's not a big difference between doing real estate and making yourself shit your pants.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't. Yep. I don't remember that scene from Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay. I was in The Big Short.
I gotta see that one. What's next? Oh, number 10, Oklahoma, and number 13, Baylor. Hey guys, heads up, Baylor still undefeated. They kind of like
just pretending they're not, and just, I mean, not allowing them to be ranked higher than 13. What are we doing here?
I don't know. I mean, they did fart out like the saddest win possible against TCU that took three overtimes. But I mean, this is kind of wild. So, okay, I'll pick first. Oklahoma's going to win this game by like 100 points. But if I'm wrong, which statistically I'm probably going to be wrong, if Baylor's to win this fucking game, they might go from 13th to second.
I mean, it's pretty incredible that Georgia lost to South Carolina and they're fourth. And Baylor hasn't lost to anybody in their 13th.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Right? Their schedule's pretty bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Though.
Yeah.
And they've only barely beaten, they've only Baylor beaten just about everybody. My wife's going to give herself a concussion from shaking her head at my corny jokes today.
That's how you know they're good.
I'm taking I'm taking Oklahoma. Okay, Sooners.
Oklahoma. Okay. I think that's all our picks, right?
Yeah, that's all our picks. We picked them.
We sure did.
Should we do some fan questions?
Let's do it. Yeah, we got a bunch.
Fan questions. Also, these should be called like listeners. Like, do we really have fans or do we have friends that
your friends are like your fans, but
we have a couple fans. If we haven't met you in real life and you listen to the podcast, you're a fan.
Yeah. When your college football team is really sucking it, does that draw you to drink only overproof spirits? Asking for a friend.
Ugh. I feel like I already only drink overproof spirits, so I may not be the best person to answer this question. But it's definitely a bummer. You know what really is a bummer is when you like waste your Saturday night to watch your team suck it, and then you're just like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Yep. I drink everything when my college football team is really sucking it, which is pretty constant thing. On season, off season, spring training, whatever. Yeah, that was speaking of being drunk, that was the most South Carolina possible ending to that App State game, was it not?
Ugh. Yeah, it very much was a South Carolina ending.
Wide open receiver throws it too hard into the end zone.
and then it wouldn't have counted anyways.
It wouldn't have counted anyway because of a holding call. And also, was it, who was it? The receiver?
It's Brian Edwards.
Yeah. Probably your best receiver of the past. South Carolina has been blessed with a lot of really good receivers. He's I think he has the most reception yards now, maybe. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's got reception yards, receptions, and maybe receiving touchdowns now.
Yeah, so one of the greatest to ever do it at South Carolina, just absolutely wasted on the fucking worst teams that I can remember. Really, really a shame, but gave it all on that play, ends up in the fucking bushes, needs ref help to get out. And it should have been such an easy throw. I mean, nobody's within 15 yards and yeah, he was lucky not to get hurt, and it didn't matter anyway. So go Gamecocks. Another question. My new favorite phrase is okay, boomer. But if I'm a boomer, am I allowed to use this phrase?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it actually holds more gravitas if you are a boomer. Or if you're a member of the greatest generation, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that recession. Greatest generation. That's fucking cool. Please vacate all your leadership positions so that I can finally move up in my job. yeah, I would say the only caveat to this question is that the person saying okay, boomer needs to be saying it to a boomer with classically boomer opinions. Like, it can't be some like conservative, if you only stood the value of a dollar person saying it to a boomer that like advocates Medicare for all.
Yeah.
Like this has to be said by a woke progressive boomer to a stuffy, actually part of the problem white boomer. Is that fair?
Yeah, that checks out. That seems right.
And then if anyone calls you on it, you just have to be like, I have friends that are millennials. They said I could use it. I have black friends. Yeah. Next question. I read that USC is a top 20 program in regards to revenue, attendance, etc. Does it feel that way to diehard Gamecock fans?
Nope. Is this probably a good place as any to talk about the Muschamp Ray Tanner situation?
Sure.
So I have gotten to the point where I think Will Muschamp should definitely be fired.
You're convinced of it.
I am pretty convinced of it. There's just nothing. So he has shown nothing in 5 years now, 4 years now. Four and some change, right? Or is it three and some change?
Okay. This is season four.
So nothing. I just have not seen anything different from the previous seasons here or his seasons at Florida. Like nothing. Like there's just no sign of improvement. There's no sign of, you know, learning from your losses or any of those type of things. The problem is if he was fired before January 1st, it would be what appears to be the highest, executed buyout in college football history. So who structured that contract?
A baseball coach turned athletic director who has no business being an athletic director.
Yes. So
and to be fair, a university board of directors who,
yes,
I don't know what they were thinking.
So why did they, so it gets to the point, like, why did they hire Will Muschamp? Why, what? So he coached in the division at a team that has more resources, more built-in advantages. And somehow they were convinced that things would be different at South Carolina that has less resources, less built-in advantages, you know, maybe not as big, you know, the gap there is not as big as it used to be. And that's, you know, that's one thing, but then to structure his contract in a way that he has a record-breaking buyout if things are not any better than they were at Florida. It's pretty bad.
Well, the buyout was recent too, right? It was last year. It's after the end of last year that he gave it to him.
Yeah.
Or maybe the season before or something. I don't fucking get it. I don't know if we should fire Will Muschamp, honestly. Buyout aside.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not that we shouldn't. It's just like, who do we think we go get? And why do we think that person would want to come here? And also, I don't know. Like, when I start to get really pissed about the offense, I think, well, we promoted an offensive coordinator that had no offensive coordinator experience. So maybe we just need a different offensive coordinator. And then I think to myself, how many people are hurt and how you're going to fire an offensive coordinator who in the first game of the season loses his fourth year senior quarterback. I don't know. I feel like I can make a bunch of excuses as to why this season was going to suck from the beginning. And we all kind of knew it anyways. So I don't know. I think you've got, sorry, I'm choking on these delicious Casa Sanchez chips. I think you got to fire the offensive coordinator. I think if you don't make a change this season, you're crazy. The other thing I don't understand is, like, why does it feel like Will Muschamp just can't get over this hump of having a productive offense? Like, is he behind the scenes just too involved with the offense that he's just like making it stupider for everybody? Or is it just like implementing a high-powered offense when one did not previously exist, a la Georgia Tech, is painful and a long process and takes time and also very difficult in general. And if you don't have the right coordinator, you're shit out of luck anyways, in which case he needs to go find another one. Or is he just like inept at finding the right person? I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm legitimately interested, like, whose offense do you hold in high regard? LSU's?
Yeah, I think LSU's is good. I think Bama's is good. Yeah.
So if we went to the LSU offensive coordinator and just said, okay, we'll pay you 10X what you're making right now, which would be crazy because it'd probably be like $10 million. Do you think that they could fix the South Carolina offense and while Will Muschamp is their boss?
It's a great question. I don't think so.
And that's because of Will Muschamp?
Yeah, I think so. It just seems like despite having offensive coordinators with different outlooks, that the offenses generally look the same. Like, they look bad for the same reasons. They look inept for the same reasons. So
do you think he gets too involved?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that seems like what it's got to be. And that's, you know, that's fine on some level. It's, you know, he's in charge. It's his team. You know, if he doesn't, you know, the thing that sort of comes to mind actually for me, and I think it's a testament to him, sadly, is, or not sadly, but whatever, is Nick Saban. You know, 8 years ago, you know, happy to win games 12-6, run the ball 90% of the time, do whatever. And then he seemed to quickly realize with a couple losses in the college football playoff that his teams were too big and they weren't flexible enough. And so now, you know, Alabama has one of the highest powered offenses, you know, in the country. And I think what that came down to possibly is the hiring of Lane Kiffin, believe it or not. And I think what you had there is Lane Kiffin is actually a great offensive mind. But he's also brash enough to not really give a shit about what Nick Saban thinks he should do. You know, he coached in the NFL, he coached in the SEC at the head coaching level and just has a kind of fuck you attitude, which probably, you know, is part of the reason he didn't last too long there. But that offense has been different since he showed up, even since he left. So, yeah, I do think it is on Muschamp to, if you're going to hire an OC, you know, generally let them do what they need to do to be successful.
Yeah, it's tough to disagree with that. I wish it didn't take us doing that to get there, you know?
Yeah.
We got one more fan question that's relevant. This one comes from Mason Snyder on Twitter. Also, all three of those questions previously were from a friend of the pod, my dad. So shout out to my dad for those questions. But Mason asks, are you really a true Gamecock fan if you're okay with getting any of Clemson's sloppy seconds, Chad Morris, Tavian Feaster, etc.? I already know the answer, but I'd like to hear your take. Even though I already know it too, I'll hang up and listen from here. Cox by 90. Do you have an answer to this question?
Yeah, I think you are a true Gamecock fan if you're okay with it. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. Do you?
No, I mean, like, was Alabama supposed to not want Nick Saban as their coach because he coached at LSU first?
Right.
Pretty sure they're happy with that decision. I think the coach is a little bit different than the player, though. You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Spurrier and Muschamp coached at Florida. There's the Brad Scott thing, FSU. I mean,
yeah.
Like, for enough money, I'll fucking wear any piece of clothing, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The player part is weird, though. I do agree that the player thing is a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, we're supposed to believe that, like, Clemson fans would, like, love to have Jadeveon Clowney on their team for, like, if he did a fifth year or a third year or whatever, fourth year. I mean, I guess they would. But, like, he, you know what I mean? Like, what if DJ Swearinger transfers to Clemson? They're all going to, like, start wearing DJ Swearinger jerseys, even though he fucking ear-holed Taj Boyd and flexed on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little weird, but also, I don't know. As soon as they make a good play, you're like, okay, great.
Yeah.
It goes away pretty quick. Yeah, I'm fine.
How funny would it be if Tavian Feaster on the, like, gets a handoff when we play Clemson and just, like, turns around and runs the other direction and like fumbles it in the end zone for a touchdown and then just goes double birds to the sky and then, like, rips his jersey off and it says, like, Clemson forever. It's like this long con.
Yeah, is there
that would be the most Clemson thing to do ever. Like, their team is so good and they still, like, I have friends that still live in South Carolina for some reason. And they will, like, tweet about, like, they'll be at a bar and it's a bunch of Clemson fans just cheering for App State, you know? And there's all these photos of, like, fans coming out of the woodwork at South Carolina games wearing Clemson jerseys. It's like, dude, you're missing out on your team being so good just to worry about a very bad South Carolina football team.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, though. I would definitely be down to celebrate a Clemson loss to, you know, Duke or whatever. So
yeah, I just meant that, like, Tavian Feaster committing a whole season just to goof.
Yeah, is there like a biblical allegory there? Because if so, I could see it happening.
Yeah, let me think about it. Yeah, it's a prodigal son. Duh, hello.
Okay, then yeah, I could see it happening.
Well, thanks for the listener questions. I'd take Chad Morris to be our offensive coordinator tomorrow. Same. So. Well, did you have anything good to eat or drink in the last week?
I had, I had a really good old bottle of wine. Similar to one we had together, actually. I had a 1986 Robert Mondavi Vineyard Select, something like that. Cabernet. So super old, pretty classic Cabernet. It was great. We had a younger version of that at the restaurant at Meadowood, a couple years ago. And I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I remember us both being pretty blown away by it. so I found an older version of it, online and got it. And it was really good. It, in researching it, I found out something really interesting is that, it's actually a low intervention 80s cab. What? Yeah. So there was some notes on it that, Robert Mondavi had switched to, like a really minimalist, winemaking style with his Cabernets, the year before. So probably not quite a, you know, hashtag natural wine, but surprisingly close considering what you generally think of for big California cabs. So it was really good.
That's awesome. That rules. I'm going to stay on the wine theme it is Beaujolais Nouveau season.
Yeah, it is.
And so I owe you some wine, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the pod, Scribe Winery, released their Beaujolais Nouveau last week and went to the pickup party to party at a winery because white. and they released their Nouveau. So it's a like Beaujolais style, but because it's California, they use a Pinot Noir. Peanut Noir. Mm. And it's real good. It's a 2019 harvest, so it's like a real fresh and unfiltered, all natty yeast. Spontaneous fermentation, unfiltered. It's cloudy. You drink it cold, and it's like, harvest happens near-ish Thanksgiving time. Not anymore because it's hot as fuck here, and so harvest is happening earlier and earlier. But the point is still relevant that it's not like harvest happens in February. And so you get like a late summer, early fall harvest. And just in time for the holiday season, you've got these really delicious Nouveau wines that pair perfectly with fucking Thanksgiving.
They're delicious.
So also low key, Thanksgiving is the best wine holiday. Don't at me.
Yeah. What else is even in contention?
Christmas maybe. Mm. New Year's Eve has the champagne thing going for it.
Yeah, but that's,
you know, Easter, blood of Christ. My wife liked that one. I got some points back.
I'm just imagining now like a really woke youth pastor being like at Easter, wondering if the wine is natural.
Oh, that's so funny.
Like therefore missing the entire point, right?
Yeah. Is there sulfur added to this, or is it truly blood of Christ? carbonic fermentation on this blood of Christ, or
this is a little, this is hotter than I remember it being.
Grippy tannins on the blood this year, Jesus. Are we dry farming? Is this single estate?
Oh man. Definitely biodynamic. Yeah. The pagan, actually no, the pagan wines are biodynamic.
Oh man. Welcome to Run the Wine.
This is our new podcast. This is more fun than football.
It's very fun. I tried to get my wife to start a wine podcast with me and she didn't want to do it. So,
well, let's see. I'll do it with you. I don't know much about wine, but
wrong. Okay. Guy who casually drank a 33-year-old Mondavi this week.
Comparatively to people who actually know about wine, I don't know much about wine.
Oh, fuck that.
That's true.
Yeah, but Thanksgiving food is so good with wine. Yeah, it's the best. And yeah, you get that, like, all the friends come over kind of thing, and like people bring wine over. One of my favorite food memories was that Thanksgiving where you were out here and we just had so much dope Scribe wine and so much dope Michael Cruz, and you brought a fucking Bordeaux that was older than me. Like, yeah, that was awesome. That was so fun.
Yeah, that is the best part about Thanksgiving with wine, is you, if you have a big group, that you then have the opportunity to try two wines per person, at least if you are anything like us.
Yeah.
Which you should be. If you're not like us, you should get on our level.
Learn about it.
Learn about it.
Well, we're about to hit an hour, so we should probably stop.
Yeah.
What do you think? Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter. Yeah. Email us. We got some emails this week.
Yeah. My dad emailed us.
And I really like that.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Tanya is hand delivering me.
Ooh.
That's good. Tastes like fruit. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Casa Sanchez SF on Twitter. And follow Crunch, at Crunch. He's into polyamory, and he's not a gymnasium.
Nope. Yeah, if you follow him and he accepts your follow, just tweet something at him with... Now, let's not bring Casa Sanchez into this. What's a weird thing to ask him?
Ask him if he had anything good or to eat or drink in the last week.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's perfect. That's it. And just don't be surprised when it's not food that he responds with.
I'm poly and I'm bi. Oh, Kinkster, I think I misheard you.
What do you think I said?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
He's from the west coast of Australia, too. Like, that's it's not a lot out there.
Yeah, that's why you're getting the kinks, right?
I mean, how has he not sold his Twitter account to fucking Nestle?
Yeah, it's pretty smart. He's sitting on a gold mine there, but...
feel like maybe he could have cashed in at this point, though.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to that guy. And
yeah, thanks for listening.
Cheers.